Welcome back to the On The Record podcast. I'm Adriana Filico.
And I'm Laviza Sayed. It's that time of the year again, so I hope you are all ready for exam season. Whether you're in your first year or wrapping up your final exams, we know how stressful it can get.
We know this time of year usually means extra time on campus and more time hitting the books.
And more time on campus also means more time for students to notice what kind of resources TMU has to offer, or even what could be improved, whether it's study spaces, accessibility services, or even mental health resources. Being on campus more definitely gives you a chance to observe what works and what doesn't.
So today, we are back with yet another topic on every student's mind. What does accessibility look like at TMU?
While it is repeated over and over again that TMU is an accessible campus, what's the truth? How do students experience access to academic and physical accommodation offered to them? Are they finding the support they need, or are there still barriers in place?
To answer this question, the OTR team asked students what they thought of this topic.
Let's listen to what you had to say.
The campus is quite accessible. Everything's within a close radius. Walking to and from different buildings, library, places to study is all very accessible. There's elevators, good wheelchair access, overall pretty accessible for all.
This has actually been a topic I've thought and personally written quite a bit about because my mom is disabled. So something I've noticed, and this applies to the campus, but is mainly Toronto in general, to be honest, is that there's this kind of illusion of accessibility where it's, you know, things will say that, you know, we have the wheelchair ramp or we have, for example, like the accessibility button on the door, but whether or not those things are actually operable is another story. It's so you can put the fact that you have a wheelchair button on a door, but it's honestly a 50-50 chance of whether or not it actually works because no one's checking up on it. And that's something I've had a lot with my mom where it's like, oh yeah, there is an elevator, but it's been out of service for the past like 2 years. So it's not, you know, useful at all. And it's just not something that we're talking about, to be honest.
I think it's pretty accessible, but it's pretty hidden, right? In the sense, okay, I could use the rack as an example. Right, we all know the main entrance to the Craig Quad, but like the accessible entrance is all the way through the pod, go through Carroll Hall. So it is accessible, but it's not accessible enough. Like it's hidden spots to get where you're going if it's accessible entrances. So yeah.
I haven't really exercised those privileges, but from what I know, yeah, it seems like this is a very helpful school, especially with academics.
In terms of accommodation wise, I don't think there's a lot of it could be a lot better. Like a lot of the academic advisors, the English academic advisor, I'll say, is like one of the worst I've ever I've ever seen or heard of. He is very unhelpful. So I feel like in terms of accommodations, the academic advisors can be a lot more accommodating, especially within my program.
Thanks for stepping up to the mic, TMU.
It does seem like accessibility might be a sensitive topic.
But to make sure we are all on the same page, tell me, Laviza, how is accessibility defined in the context of a school campus?
Good question, Adriana. TMU's statement of commitment emphasizes providing accessible learning and employment spaces for everyone on campus. In alignment with the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, TMU aims to ensure equal opportunity for all students and staff, and create an inclusive environment for everyone to fully engage with campus life.
Let's hear from Stephanie Evans. She's a Memorial University graduate in social work and super passionate about mental health and disability advocacy. She's from St. John's, Newfoundland.
I work at the Faculty of Social Work. I'm doing a lot of research on two projects, which I'm making a community of practice. When I was born, it was my mom had a spontaneous delivery, so the doctor twisted me the wrong way and the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck for 10 seconds, causing me to have a brain injury. So growing up, I did not have an easy life. I still don't have an easy life. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that people after me and people that I'm around that have disabilities, that they won't have to face what I face every day. We shouldn't require a doctor's note to get accommodations, and that's not fair. So when people do get accommodations, they don't get them in time. Like say they have a test in 2 weeks and they go get that testing accommodation and they say, oh, we don't have the room for you. You have to go back to the classroom. That's not acceptable. I was in a classroom where disability wasn't talked about. Disability is not a bad word. I think people are really uncomfortable with the word, but it's really not. So there needs to be more awareness because there's a lot of people that are disabled in school and they need that support and they're not getting it and like they don't know where to turn to. Have that conversation with the person, see what their access needs are and just listen to them. Also look at like funding grants to get more funding because they're out there. You just have to look. And be willing to want to like learn, like everyone can grow from experience. Like if you need inclusion training, that's okay. Like you're gonna like be a better person because of it. Like you shouldn't limit yourself.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You know, I really agreed when Stephanie said how we shouldn't require a doctor's note to get accommodations. That's not fair. When people do get accommodations, they don't get them in time, and that's not acceptable. For students with disabilities, the burden of proving their need for accommodations can be lengthy and stressful, often adding more obstacles to their educational journey. Access to accommodations should be streamlined.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes to show how important it is to create an accessible and supportive system that doesn't place extra burdens on students just to receive the help that they need. She mentioned how assumptions can't be made about students' needs. Staff should engage in conversations with students to understand their individual access requirements. I also like how she noted that disability is not a bad word, addressing the discomfort people may feel when discussing disabilities. Promoting open, inclusive conversations can help combat the stigma and create a supportive environment for students with disabilities.
Speaking of advocates for inclusivity, we also spoke to Dr. Idil Abdullahi. Abdullahi is an assistant professor in TMU's School of Disability Studies and a dedicated advocate for anti-Black racism and social justice in Toronto. As an advisor on anti-Black racism at TMU and a grassroots organizer, Dr. Abdullahi brings a wealth of experience to today's conversation.
Just to answer your question more broadly around our university accessible to students, staff, faculty, et cetera, I would say, no, they're not as accessible as they could be. I think we still see classrooms that are, you know, designed within a very ableist logic. But within that, I think that we also have to think about the kind of policies, procedures, practices, ways of thinking that continue to sustain institutions being designed in that way. So here in Ontario, we have several policies, whether it's the AODA, whether it's the Human Rights Code, whether it is other kinds of policies that speak to disability. And you would think that by now, these things would have been addressed in institutions. So when I say that I want us to think about what produces inaccessibility, I say that because there must be ideas, practices, ways of being and thinking and knowing, bodies that we value more, like able-bodied people, right? And so if we have these ideas and we continue to sustain these ideas and they're ableist ideas that can only imagine able-bodied students going to institutions, then we'll continue to see the inaccessible classrooms. So what do I think institutions need to do? I think that they need to ensure that the entire university space and the entire university experience is accessible to the multiply and differently disabled, sick, mad, et cetera, students, chronically ill students, as well as to ensure that their experience is equally as accessible in all the ways that it is for able-bodied students, while we continue to focus and pay attention to the ideas, the policies, the laws, the legislation, the practices that continue to sustain and produce ableism within society and universities more broadly.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Idil Abdullahi. That was so insightful. especially when she mentioned how here in Ontario, we have several policies. And you would think that by now, these things would have been addressed in institutions. Although we have frameworks like the AODA and the Human Rights Code, institutions have not fully implemented them.
That part stuck out to me too. Although we use those frameworks, our classrooms still follow ableist logics. She emphasized how they prioritize able-bodied experiences, creating spaces that exclude disabled students from fully participating.
That's really interesting. But I believe our guests today have shown that real accessibility means more than just policies. It requires true understanding and a commitment to change. Only then can schools create spaces where all students feel supported and included.
I'm glad we were able to have this conversation, and hopefully we helped distract you from exam season. Maybe you'll see campus in a new way.
Oh, don't you even get me started on how much work I have to do to prepare for my exams.
Trust me, we won't get you started. We'll get you back to studying soon enough.
Thank you again so much to everyone who shared their thoughts regarding this topic. Don't forget to tune in next week when we will cover postgraduate work. And thank you to Almost Barely for the theme music.
And if you have any burning questions or matters for us to cover, email us at ontherecordnews.ca. I'm Adriana Felico.
And I'm Laviza Sayed. We'll catch you next week.